Thank you, Father. Agree with me in prayer, would you? Father, I thank you and I praise you for this path that we're on. It's not a spooky spiritual path. It's not something that's with bells and whistles and frills that have no meaning, but we can trace our steps through the Word of God. And we thank you for this great grace. We thank you for the reality of spiritual things, for dreams, for visions, for visitations by your Spirit, and even at times when you choose, not by our choosing, angelic visitations and all kinds of things that are integrated for the purpose of the kingdom of God. And we give you all the praise and glory. We thank you for all these things. We seek them not, but we seek you. But out of seeking you, you have plans, purposes, and pursuits for us. We thank you for your word, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to continue on tonight on Onward Christian Soldiers. This is lesson 7, and it is perfect, called Perfect Peace. The title is Perfect Peace. Hallelujah. I want to just remind you, as we've been on this particular subject for the last 7 weeks on Onward Christian Soldiers, some of the reasons why, and I think it's quite obvious to us why, but I'll remind you, it's to prepare and condition an army that will overtake the gates of hell. Hallelujah. We're standing on the outside of these gates, and we have positioned ourselves steadfast, and our particular gate is the gates of Immokalee, but it's all of Southwest Florida. And these gates are not marching against us. We're marching. We have sieged them. And they are periodically throwing flaming missiles at us to stop us in every way possible. Rex identified one of those missiles as isolation. If he can make you feel isolated, he can definitely eventually cut you out of the flock. And that's one of his great takeouts. Number two, we want to take the position. We want to take the possession of what is on the other side of the gates. And that's one of our main, we're preparing together as a spiritual army to be best prepared in these last days to take those gates. And the reason why is on the other side of those gates is an onslaught of souls. Now, I don't have to preach this too strong to you, because I believe that you can get convinced of it pretty easy. And for those that are tuning in or will watch this in the next few days, and by the way, Candy and Harry are doing a great job getting this out to us. And to the world, to the ones that are watching it on a continual basis, I don't have to try to do too much to teach this part. But the reason why, I mean, you can think of a whole lot of logistical reasons and a lot of natural reasons, but the reason mainly, most, and foremost that the house is not packed is because of the gates of hell. That's it. In other words, there is a spiritual force. We're not giving any more credit than what we need to, but we have to recognize there is a spiritual ceiling over this area, and it's over every area, really. And unless somebody gets in there and has the long-term tenacity to stay in there and fight it. Like Pastor Dave used to say, he said, revival is, what is? Revival is getting past everything that he can throw at you, surviving, winning, and getting past that and going on to receive an outpouring. And it could come out in a million different excuses, the reason why, but we will be totally, absolutely, and utterly, even though we know this, surprised of how easy it is and the influx when some of what we're fighting against sees its final death throes of, we extinguish all life and we get past the gates of hell. And if you see the earmark of revival in the book of Acts, it was just like they used to talk. Now, I haven't even heard any reports like this about third world countries lately, but it was in third world countries years ago, and there's probably some third world or maybe first world like China, and because I understand China's having quite a revival. But there were times in my growing up and times that you've probably heard about of those third world countries where they didn't know anything. I'm not running anybody down. They didn't know anything. They couldn't preach. It was like Humpty Dumpty stood on a, you know, was on a wall. Those kinds of messages. And thousands being saved. And thousands influx coming in. And the book of Acts was like that. The reason why the ceiling that was over broke through the power of God. And as a result of it, hearts, people, listen, I don't believe in spells over Christians. That doesn't fly. But there is a ceiling of demonic powers that when darkness is pierced and the kingdom of God is able to rule in the full shining beauty that it really has over the devil, you're going to see some things like the influx. The Lord told Gary years ago, he said, you're going to laugh at the days ahead. In the days ahead, you're going to laugh because you ever thought that it was so hard to see the miracles. Something to that extent. It's going to be that fluid. It's like right now, it's like milking a Brammer bull cow and she don't want to be milked. We're not talking about a Holstein or Guernsey or Jersey or something. We're talking about something that don't want to consolidate or come along. The days will come when the ease of it will be, this is the fight right now. This is the absolute fight. This is what the gates of hell are trying to stop us from. It's also to bring about or bring back into existence a kingdom of God reality to the church, which is power. It really is. It's the power. Now, I'm going to read a couple of prophecies. I read one last week, and these prophecies are not from here, but they are. I'm getting these out of the prayer center in Tulsa, and it's amazing to me that there is a mind of Christ that's coming out right now in so many different places among our brethren concerning warfare and armies and staying the course. Last week, I read to you, I have three here, and there's some more that come out this week. I didn't even try to bring those. The next move shall be my army. And I read that to you last week and gave you some scripture references. But I want to read a couple of short ones to you again tonight because I think it's so apropos to what we're continuing to study. This one says, the nations shall see two armies. The nations shall see two armies. One will be dressed for battle and one will be dressed for ceremony. The army I am dressing for battle will go forth in me and in my power to endure and be sustained in me. They will be dressed in who they are in my victory. There will be those who will be dressed for ceremony, for they have not learned to be dressed in full armor of my righteousness, nor have they established on their heads the helmet that is of faith and love. This group has not yet learned of the authority, dominion, and victory that are in me. Victories they will have, But their victories will not be to the fullness of my army that I am equipping. For teaching they have believed, which did not originate in me, has limited how much of my truth they believe. The nations will look askant at my battle-dressed army, though they shall reach forth for them in a time of need. This army will live in my armor, whole armor, and through them my glory shall be released into or in the nations as I use them to salvage, to restore, and to set free. I will walk in strength and power with those who have followed my spirit out of the doctrines of men into the truth of my justice and vengeance and love. Now, they give three corresponding scriptures, Colossians 2, 9 and 10, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, John 15 and 7, if ye abide in me, and 1 Corinthians 1, 26 and 7. For ye shall see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and so forth and so forth. One more short prophecy, and then we'll go in, well, it's a few paragraphs. We'll go into tonight's lesson. This walk requires hardness. Oh, let me give you the title. You are my soldiers. This walk requires hardness and training. For all who are in this training will be used to overtake strongholds of the enemy and to spread forth the understanding of that which they have received. Truth shall be heard throughout the nations, and I will confirm my word that is alive in you. Fear not the voices of men. Fear not the signs of things that are coming, for I am with you in all things. You will be glad you took the training and stayed and endured the hardness and continued to put to death the desires and cries of the flesh and pressed on into greater depths in me. You will see the results of the experience of my training in the days ahead, and you will be glad you continued to follow me. I have an army I am bringing forth of young and old alike, and there are those whose hearts are filled with desire. That desire is of me, for I am looking for a generation who will endure and say, even as Caleb, give me that mountain. For he was well able through me. I am looking for those who will serve me in strength to a ripe old age, who will serve me in my power, wisdom, and authority. Reach deeper into me and come higher and see as I see. For there is much I am offering you by my spirit. Stay hungry and willing to stay the course. No matter the rigors of training, my strength is yours. It is equal to your training and equipping. You are my soldiers learning to adhere to my truth, and you are reaching forth for wisdom and revelation, which I will require of you in the days ahead. Reach for more. And then reach for more again, for I have a treasure trove of wealth, of wisdom and understanding for all who will receive. Stand fast, endure, stay strong in me, for you will see marvelous things. And they give a number of scriptures here. 2 Timothy 2, Joshua 14, and Psalms 119. Hallelujah. Now, I want to review just for a few moments lesson 6. And then we'll go kind of quickly through this, and then we'll start into tonight's lesson on perfect peace. Hallelujah. We went through 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we discovered what strongholds that Paul was talking about, and that's not part of really the review I want to go into. Let me just read this for you, because I want to get down to verse 15 in this. You can turn there, it's Ephesians 6, but you can remember as I follow along these scriptures. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, or as a result of that, Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And this particular verse, we started out with peace. I believe I know why, but let me just read it, and then we'll comment later. We started out with peace as far as talking about the armory last week. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And praying always, verse 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now that's the scripture we used Sunday. We went into all types of prayers. Wasn't that good? We broke all that down. We really saw that in a different way. That was really good. Verse 15 of that talks about the preparation of the gospel of peace. It doesn't just say peace. That is significant because when he says gospel, the word gospel not only means good news, it's a good message. It's an all kind of, it has a full message with it. And so there's a lot more than just saying peace here. It's all the aspects of peace and everything that's involved in that. Now, last week, and we won't turn there, but I'm just going to kind of bring you up to speed and so that we can once again remember where we're launching from. Last week I had you turn to Judges 6, 1 through 24, and we read that and we exhorted that. And we talked about a man who is in the Hall of Fame in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, which is Gideon. And just to reaccount that, not to reaccount all the exploit, what happened as far as the battle and the fight, but just to say that Gideon, if you'll remember in the reading portion of it that we did, Gideon was in a threshing floor. Angel appears to him and says, "Thou mighty man of valor." And I said to myself, based on what he said about himself afterwards, he may have thought, "Who are you talking to? I know you're not talking to me." But he pronounces to him, you're a mighty man of valor. God has chosen you to do such and such and such. You're going to save the people. And the story goes on, if you read in the following chapters, how that an incredible, incredible, powerful exploit that God uses Gideon in, and whereas he takes 300 men and destroys an army of insurmountable odds, thousands and tens of thousands. Those are not fairy tale stories. They're reality. God did those kinds of things as a shadow, a foretaste to us. It says all these things, even in the New. It says that these things were written or recorded so that we might see, we might understand, that we understand the shadow, we understand the symbolism. They're for us. Now, the power was incredible. But the amazing part, what we saw last week, was in that first encounter with that angel, was when Gideon was trying to, when the angel was trying to convince him and trying to tell him, and God was about to use him of something totally beyond his capacity. Now I'll do a little preachy here. How many of you know revival is beyond our capacity? It's way beyond. At this point in time, based on what we see, if we go by what we see, there's no possibility. That's why it's got to happen, because there is a God, and God exists. And if God exists, then he's not a liar. And then if you follow the script, which is the Word of God, you're going to wind up right where he says you're going to wind up. So it's inevitable. It's just, so this guy was called to do something that was totally impossible, but the first place that God met him, or the first part of the character that God portrays to this man, is not power. He portrays to him the essence of who he was, as in peace, absolute peace. There was an incredible task for Gideon to do, but God revealed himself as not in power, but in peace. The word, as soon as he had this vision with this angel, and this angel demonstrates something, Gideon says this, Jehovah Shalom has met me here, in essence. And the amazing part about that is, when you see that word Jehovah Shalom, or if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's more than Jehovah has peace. It is Jehovah is peace. That's who he is. That's why the psalmist says you can seek peace. And that's why it's not selfish. That's why it's not a thing of the flesh to seek peace, because you're seeking the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. He doesn't just have peace. Peace doesn't just emanate from, that's the essence of who he is. That's one of his characteristics. That's one of his characters. This God of the Old Testament, this is one of his redemptive names. That's interesting. Jehovah Shalom. Psalms 34:14 says, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. That's the one I just quoted. But 6:15, Ephesians, it says, let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? Well, in plain English, it just means put on the shoes of peace, the gospel. Not just peace, the gospel. Why we say the gospel means more than just the word peace is because there's a whole library. There's volumes of understanding that come out of peace. I told you that I'd read some things on some people that are scholars, and they talked about how that, the armatry or the arming of the Roman foot soldier, how that he had like interchangeable shoes, and that was part of, this footwear. But here it says the gospel of peace. And so that lets us know that there's something far more than just situational battles. There is something that is there that God gives from the get-go that makes you more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. And it's the gospel of peace. Let me just read some of my notes here so I don't miss anything, and then we'll go on. Focusing on the effects of peace, we brought this out last week, that one of the number one aspects of peace, or the gospel of peace being our life, is a compass. And your feet are, you could put it in this, your feet are, they're the foundation, but they're also everything, they're the direction of your life. And it's amazing how peace and direction or guidance is coupled together. They're absolutely coupled together. And this is what I believe Paul was trying to get across through the Holy Ghost in Ephesians chapter 6. I'll mention this. You've heard us talk about this before. And for anybody that's watching us, one of my favorite all-time beginning of my course in Christ series is only a 2-lesson series by Pastor Dave Roberson, and it's called Distinguishing God's Voice. And that, I remember when I was listening to it over here in this office 20 years ago and putting that over and over in my spirit, and Pastor Dave goes in and he breaks down on how do you distinguish God's voice? How do you begin to know that you're hearing from God? And he actually begins to break down systematically through the Word of God, I think it's 4 different ways in which God speaks to us. But the amazing part, the foundational part is this, it's through the witness of peace. 1 minute old, 1 second old in Christ is the compass or the witness of peace. Pastor Dave used to say this, and I loved it. He said, the direction of God, as in knowing that he would go on to talk about other ways, that you could hear God's voice and that he would talk to you in English, dreams and visions, all those kinds of different ways. But the first place or the beginning place is just that emanating witness, just that compass, that witness that comes out of you by being born again. And he would talk about the will of God for people's life as you go into him, as you're born again and you have that spirit that it can be communicated to now that bears witness. Romans 8 says his spirit bears witness with our spirit. And that's that witness of peace. It's bearing witness. Well, it's like he would say, and I've used this so many times in my life. In fact, really my life in Christ has been built on this. My life in Christ has been built as far as direction. You say, well, what about the Word of God? Yes, the Word of God, amen, but the Word of God cannot tell me a lot of things. It can give me a foundation of doctrine, but as in the should I go to Immokalee? Should I not go to Immokalee? Should I live in Immokalee? Should I not live in Immokalee? Should I pastor in Immokalee? Should I work there? Should I do... Oh, there's a million trillion questions that you can't find a verse for. If anybody ever tells you with that religious mindset, well, show me scripture on it. There's a million things if it comes to the isolated parts of the direction of your life. I can give you the foundation. I can tell you what's right and wrong for everybody. Okay? There's certain things that you can't say, well, that's not wrong for me. If it's in the Word of God, it's wrong for everybody, okay? But the do's and don'ts about where you're supposed... It's, Pastor Dave used to say, it's like a plant or tree growing towards the sunshine. In other words, the further you go, the more you can't do anything else but that. If you tried to do anything but that, you'd be miserable. And that's that witness of peace that is just there. It's emanating from, and it's like most, 99% of my life has not been, the day when I get up and go, I don't hear a still small voice. I hear his voice a lot. I hear him talk in English. But the most part of my life in direction and going this way, that way, in every way, is not, you can get weird like that. You can get weird like that. Okay, I can't, I've met some people like that. He hadn't told me to go to the bathroom yet. Well, you're probably going to go. He hadn't told me to do this. He hadn't told me to do that. Just live your life with good sense and follow the witness of peace. Follow the witness of peace. It will always take you in the direction that you're supposed to go, especially if you're praying in tongues. Hallelujah. So it's a beacon. T.L. Osborne, I remember I saw him, I think it was in 83. I was shocked. This man's on the stage. He goes, I don't know that I've ever, I don't think God's ever told me in an audible or voice. I don't think I've ever heard him say, you're called to the ministry. And the man is an incredible man of God. He just said, I just followed the inward witness. I just followed the path that God was placing in front of me. Hallelujah. Now, our path is a path of that direction. It's peace. It's the preparation of the gospel peace. This is so important. Why is this, and how does this interlink with Onward Christian Soldiers? Because in this, there is no way for us to proceed and take over the gates of hell unless there's a strong residence of this inward peace being cranked out in us daily. Our life is not lived by circumstances. It's not lived by the circumstances that surround us. It's lived by that inward peace that is different. So absolutely incredibly different than headpiece. There can be a war right all around you. There can be hell all around you. And you know that if you just go there for a minute in your mind, you're going to get so entangled. But if you live in that place, see, most Christians are more acquainted with their souls than they are with their spirits. I was, some of the guys in here, they'll know. And they understand. We just agree and we don't say anything. I was at a banquet several months ago with some of my friends in here and colleagues, and we heard a guy that's a well-known sports person, and he was talking about, and he's not part of, born again, loves God, going forward, not spirit-filled, but he was talking about how that he had so many transitions in his life, and I'm just thinking about this right now. He had so many transitions in his life because as a result of closed doors. And every time a door would close, then he would figure, I'm supposed to go another direction. God closes the door. God does it. We've learned just the opposite. We've learned that usually when doors close, that's the greatest anthem that God's in it and we're supposed to go forward. Our direction is not based on... Actually, if you read the rest of the story, Gideon, he was so amazing. He was praised by God in chapter 11 of Hebrews based on what he conquered. But he is not an example of faith in all the aspects of how we're supposed to, as spirit-filled Christians, conduct our life. He put a fleece. You know what a fleece is? It's the skin of a lamb. Okay, so he had a fleece, a rug. And after the Lord visited him powerfully, he puts this fleece out. Now, I might have this opposite. I might have this totally in reverse. Okay, so don't hold me to this. He goes, okay, God, if this is really you, I'm going to put this fleece out here on the ground tonight. And if when I get up in the morning, the fleece or the skin is wet with dew, and the ground around it is dry, I know it's you. So he got up the next morning, and sure enough, he could wring out the fleece. It was sopping, soaking wet, and the ground was dry. Okay? That wasn't good enough. Okay, God, tomorrow, if the fleece is totally dry and the ground around it is wet, I'll know it's you. God was so merciful to him. Same thing. He got up, the fleece, the skin, the rug, it's dry. The ground's soaking, sopping wet. Okay, must be God. I love what Kenneth Hagin used to say. He goes, he does not talk to us or lead us by exterior signs in the New Testament. He leads us by the Holy Ghost through internal peace. He goes, you put out a fleece and you may get fleeced. Put out something out there in the natural and ask God, well, if this happens, then I'll know it's you. Don't you think that devils have ability to change things and cause things to... Well, if Joe stops by tomorrow at 3:00... Or if Mary calls me sometime in the next 2 days, I'll know. Ours is an internal. Why is this important? Because in the days ahead, when the hurricane winds are so strong and God's calling in the masses and the fight is on, you'll not lean to external things. You'll lean to the peace of God, which is the preparation of the gospel peace, which is not external, it is internal, and it has nothing to do with your head. Nothing to do with thoughts and those kinds of things. Hallelujah. I appreciate, but y'all still ain't amen me enough, yes. Okay. Hallelujah. We are people. I said this last week. I don't know how much it got across to you, but I said this. We are people with a witness. That's that internal witness. It's always cranking it out. Now, somebody said, I don't think I got a witness anymore. Well, you're not saved anymore. You've lost your eternal salvation, which is pretty hard to do. There's got to be a witness in there. We are a witness waiting on a witness, but the reason why the witness is not being enjoyed is because there's too much noise. There's too much noise. Hallelujah. When the noise, Homer called it rhetoric or something several months ago. I like that word. When the noise goes away, the witness gets stronger. We talked about following the compass and following Christ. I need to get into tonight, but I need to share this too, how important that witness is. Now let me give you an example, personal example. I remember as a child, now for those of you in here that hunting and all those kinds of things may not be, maybe you're too intellectually above such things, okay? And when I speak of game and taking game and stuff, I'll try not to use words like kill, shot. See, this is, first of all, okay, I started to go into something. Okay, he said stop that. Okay. It's a wonderful pastime. It's the foundation of our nation. Kids, there was an old adage, take your son hunting and you won't have to hunt your son. I never was into drugs and alcohol. I was tough, as they'd say, a lighter knot. I wasn't a sissy, but when the other guys were getting drunk and doping, I was out hunting with my dad and my granddad, and I was real close to them. Okay, so I thank God for that. And it doesn't have to be hunting. It can be sports, baseball, something that you're sharing with your kids. Okay, but as a kid, now this is talking about direction and guidance and all those kinds of things. I thought about this today, and it was really, I thought, that's a good, that means something to me. Maybe it'll mean something to someone else. As a kid growing up, I was real close to my dad, and still am. Dad's getting up there. Granddad, you remember, most of you remember granddad that came to this church. Great guys, good fatherly men. My granddad was not my dad's dad, but my dad, granddad was on my mom's side, but they just loved each other, and they were like father and son as well. They took me hunting when I was 4 or 5 years old, and I would follow them through the woods. And down here, my uncles were cattle ranchers, and so we had the privilege of hunting on different properties, sometimes literally thousands of acres. I mean, one place that they had was 21 sections, and that's 640 acres times 21, so that's a lot of land. That was one place, and there was other places that we'd go. They would teach me as I would grow up how to go in to the woods and how to come out. I would follow them, but I remember as a kid, both granddaddy and daddy would teach me, and sometimes we would walk miles from the place that we left the truck to the place that we were going to hunt and then come back. And sometimes I remember all of them would separate and they would say, we'll meet you back here at later in the morning, or sometimes at dark. A lot of times we would hunt all day or hunt in the afternoon and meet back at dark. I remember as a kid that they would teach me how to be guided, or how to get myself in and get myself out. And the more you learn certain areas, you could come out different ways. But usually, if you're going in to a place that you're very unfamiliar with, they would just teach me different things. And I can't think of all those things right now, but you know, down here we have different types of forests. We have the cypress forest, the pine forest, the cabbage forest, you know, and different things. And they would teach me how just to mark things as I was going in. See how that comes to, you know, that, see that, how that cypress head and that cabbage hammock, how they come together. Remember, you passed by here. Remember that over there. Remember that. And so they would teach me going in. And sometimes we may walk 3, 4, 5 miles in, and then we'd have to return. Sometimes it would be close to dark coming out. And I remember there were times as I got older, and they would be teaching me. Granddaddy would teach me about the stars, and he would teach me about, we always called it the Big Dipper. I've been other places, they call it the Seven Sisters. And that may be correct, I don't know. But he showed me, he goes, son, look at that. He goes, you see that tail? And I said, yes, sir. And he goes, if you're lost at night, and if the stars are out, now if they're not out, you got a problem. But he goes, it doesn't matter where you're at. That tail's always pointing south. You can always follow that out. Or if you know where south's at, see if you know where one direction's at, then you got all the rest. Okay, so he goes, if you can find that dipper, you can follow it out. I said, okay, so I learned that. And I remember as time went on that they would let me sometimes lead the way. You know, they'd say, okay, can you take us out? So I'd get a chance to practice, you know, coming out. And so that was pretty cool as I was growing up. And so I got where that I could go almost any place and never get lost. And some people, you know, to some people that's not, you know, like you're sitting here like, I don't care. You'd care if you were in the woods because you probably couldn't get out. If I took you about 3 miles in the woods, you probably couldn't get out. You'd probably be, if I took your cell phone, you probably couldn't get out. But it taught me a process. I remember two times in my life, as a young adult, I got lost. And it was always in a place where I'd never been before. And I remember even as an adult, even after Candy and I got married, I was hunting in a place. Now, you guys know I don't get that pastime nearly as much as I used to. The people watching think, man, he must hunt all the time. Yeah, about once a year now. So once or twice, it's not much. But I was hunting in a place, and this was, not long after we got married, a couple years. And I was with my family, but I drove up to another place, and I was hunting in a place that I had never been. Well, I went in early in the morning, and I went into a place where, down here in Florida, most of you are Floridians, you understand this, but people watching, it was a cypress swamp, and it was very wide, but it had a creek running through it, and it might have been a couple miles across or whatever. And I went in very, very early. Well, where I was hunting at, I was by myself, and we all hunted by ourselves. And I was by myself, and I was hunting. That particular swamp had a lot of hogs in it, or pigs, or swine, or however you want to say it, okay? And it was my full intent to take some of those swines out of there. And so I was hunting with a shotgun, and so that meant I had to get a lot closer. Shotguns and rifles, I'm not going to go into all that, two different kinds of guns. I had to hunt with a shotgun. I got in there, and I sit down in this swamp, and it was really thick. I'd went a long ways in there. And I had sat down in there, and I was, you know, it's just the sun's coming up. I kind of got in there, you know, forging my way in there before daylight or about daylight. And I'm sitting there, and it's really thick, and I kind of know, that based on this river, there's a river in there or a creek, that the river is in front of me and it runs north and south, and I've went west, and I know I just got to turn my back to the river, to the creek, and walk out whenever I'm ready to walk out. Well, the bad part was that that particular day, there was no sunshine. It was totally overcast. And of course, if you have sunshine, you can always find your way out of any place, you know, because you know it's the east and you know which way is the west, north, south, so you're good to go. So there would be no place that I couldn't come out of if I had sunshine. But I'm sitting there, and then these hogs, these pigs, I could hear them over there. And I sneaked to them. And it took me a while to maneuver myself. Well, I actually sent two of them to heaven, to swine heaven. I got close enough to bang, bang. And I took care of business, and it was great. Okay, all right. Yeah. Now I'm way in this forest, and I realize I got two big animals here, and I need help. So I'm going to be all day dragging one at a time or whatever, or I need to go get help. So I think I got to go back to the truck, which is a long walk through this swamp, and then I'm going to get in the truck, drive back to where my family's at, and then recruit one of my cousins or my dad or somebody. We're going to go in there, two or three of us, and we'll pull these two hogs out. Well, I start out, and it takes me a long time. And when I finally, you know, it takes me forever, and I'm thinking, my God, what in the world's going on? And when I finally get out, I look, And because this big swamp opens up into open pine lands and stuff. And when I get out there, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I don't know if any of you have ever had the joy of ever being lost in the woods. It's really not, even if you're a country boy, it's kind of disheartening. It's like, I know I'm going to get out of here, but people are waiting on me, and I've got animals to dress, and I've got things to do, and I've walked a long ways already, and what I'm looking at, it's not what I'm supposed to be seeing, okay? And so I said, oh my God. So I weaved my way back, got my way back to where these animals were at, these pigs, okay? And I said, okay, I don't know what I did wrong, but I know where I'm at, and I know that I've just got to put this river to my back, this creek. And I did have to, I said, I've got to put this to my back, and I've got to walk out of here. And so I did that, and it took me a long time again. Now the afternoon's going on. I mean, it's really starting to, and when I get out, I'm like, oh, I see the opening. And I get out to the opening, and I'm on the wrong side of the swamp again. I'm like, oh my God, am I going crazy or what? I was like, what in the world? So I walk back in, and now hours are taking place. I walk back in. Surprisingly, I could find my way back to where these animals were at, and I realized that the day's getting on and the hours are coming along, so I thought, I don't want to lose these. So I field dress them, pull them in some really cool water, and that pulled their body temperature down so I could preserve them. And then I just sat there for a little bit, and I began to think about. I thought about, I have tried now for hours to get out of here. My senses, I have no sunshine, my senses have two times led me to go what I could swear. I mean, I would just swear that I knew my way out. I realized that I had to make a decision, and the decision was this. I had to go and turn the opposite direction. And against all my senses, against every step that I took, saying, you are going in the wrong direction, I had to walk out of there. And I just began that journey, and I was like, this is crazy, but I know I've got that. The way that I've been going has been taking me the wrong direction. I've got to go totally against my senses. And it took me a good while, and eventually I popped out and I recognized everything. I was back. I was back on the side of where I needed to be, and about that time, my dad come up. They were looking for me. There was a game officer there, and I told him, I said, I've got to, you know, and it was legal what I'd done. I've got some animals in there, but I've been all day trying to get out of here. And he left. My dad went with me, and surprisingly enough, I was able to go back in there, get my game, brought it out, and yummy to my tummy. Wonderful. But the message is this. Without, this is life. When you go with this, your head, and the enemy is so, listen, it's like he will come to you early. This is practical teaching now, because I feel led to say that. Even in the mornings, there's a program that he has for each of us. Once you get out of bed, what's your thoughts? Because he wants to begin to introduce to you his program. What's your thoughts during the day? Because without even realizing it, if he can get you to start going down a path, you'll believe what you believe, and to you it will be absolute, infallible truth. It will be things about your family, your kids, your life, your friends, who you are as a person, the accusations, but only through the gospel of peace that reconciles this. even against all of what is being said to me or what I am hearing in the clamor and the noise, I have to turn from this and go absolutely in the opposite direction. I am what he says I am. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. If you don't arrest your thoughts beginning early in a day, they will eventually just be steered so far in a wrong direction that the best thing to do is when you get up. Now, some days are wonderful. Some days there's no decision to make. But some days before prayer, the enemy is there waiting. That's when you have to begin to fly by instrumentation. You know, there is a, now I'm just exhorting now, but I think it's good. Amen? You getting this? There's several different types of qualifications for pilots. There is this, I don't know what they are formally, the names of them, but there are the men or women that fly by sight. Okay? They're checked out, they're licensed to fly by sight. In other words, visibility. They can take their own private plane, and they can they've got clearance to fly, and they know they can use some instrumentation, but they are not checked out like the commercial pilots. And most of our commercial pilots come from military, but the commercial pilots, they don't fly by sight. They fly by instrumentation. In other words, it can be zero visibility. The fog is so, I'm sitting on their tarmac, I've sat there several times where I'm thinking, thank God that this guy does not fly by sight. He takes off with the fog so dense, or the snow so dense, that you cannot see a foot in front of you. But he watches and he knows, and his co-pilot is trained like him, that they fly not by sight. See, if you live your life by sight, the peace that comes to your life is based on circumstances. And it's based on things, oh, I feel better about it because things seem to be lining up, or I'm feeling better, you know, my emotions are not so out of... That's subject to change. The fog can move right back in like it moved away. But if you learn to live by the gospel of peace, then you're better equipped to take these gates of hell, because you're learning in your own personal life that you're not living by sight. Circumstances, the fog of life, and all kinds of noise can be so strong around you that you cannot see a foot in front of you, but you know by the instrumentation of what God's word says, you're okay. The peace that passes all understanding. This is the peace that passes all understanding. This is the answer. This is the answer against all argument. Will I come out? Yes. You will not only come out, you will not only survive, you will thrive. You will win. Hallelujah. That's the answer of peace. That's the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. Well, I got way away from my notes, but I think that's good stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we just got a little bit more here, because we hadn't hardly even got into 7. Hallelujah. How many are ready to take those possessions of the souls? Yes, sir. The only way we can do it is with the gospel of peace. Isaiah 26. Turn there with me. We'll just introduce this. I promise I'll let you out by 9, and it's getting close, so you don't have much more. But it's, you guys have been good. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. So much. Isaiah 26. Now, I think we've exhorted a little bit on this in days gone by, but we're going to look at it more, and we'll have to look at it more next week because we're not even ready to finish tonight. But look at verse 1. It says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him, that's you and me, that's all of us in Christ, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Hallelujah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. The word perfect here is the word shalom. And it just means peace. There's a lot of other words that go along with it. Health. It comes from 7999 in the Strong's. And it is the word peace in the Hebrew. But it means welfare, health, good, prosper. But in bold italicized or in bold letters, the basic fundamental meaning of perfect means peace. Well, then, of course, the next word is the word peace, which means what? Peace. It means shalom. It's shalom. So actually what the author is saying here, thou wilt keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's exactly what it says, shalom, shalom. Thou wilt keep him in peace, peace. Everybody say peace, peace. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And I'm just going to read some of the stuff that I wrote down. What is peace, peace? It is a peace backed up by peace. Do you think we need that for the battle? It's a peace backed up by peace. It's a peace that assures, that fills and assures that it will never go away. Isn't that great? But this is internal. It doesn't come from here. I'm pointing, if you're just listening and can't see me, I'm just pointing to my head. It doesn't come from your head. But it will affect your head. The more you live out of the Spirit, it'll eventually captivate the mind. It is a peace that's backed up by a peace. It is a redundant peace. It is a peace insured by peace. Those are just ways to look at it. The insurance of this peace is peace. Hallelujah. It is a peace that cannot be broken. It is an infinite peace. An infinite peace. Hallelujah. Have you ever stood and looked into a mirror with a mirror behind you? Isn't that neat? I love that. You know, you go to those clothing stores and you have a mirror, you know, and you can pull that one behind you or whatever. If you ever look into a double mirror or a mirror, you see the reflection, but you see, it's like they ping pong off each other until it's all you see is in the distance, way down the hall. It's like forever. It just goes into infinity, and it just kind of, your image just kind of keeps going, keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. That's peace, peace. That's the peace backed up by peace. That's the infinite peace. That's why we can storm all of hell, and hell says, we're going to throw everything against you we possibly can, sickness, disease, poverty, every kind of torment possible. And you say, no, it doesn't matter, because peace, peace is my stay. It's my bulwark. It is my strength. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What is peace, peace? Peace, peace is Jesus' imparted new birth peace. John 14, 27, you don't have to turn there, but you know this verse. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This peace is not subject to anything. Did you know that? That's the neat part about it. It never runs out. It's not subject to anything. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. It is the peace that destroys all fear of the gates of hell. And how many of you know that gates of hell will send flaming missiles from time to time? Every once in a while? Maybe more than every once in a while? Donner said, no, there's not a devil behind every bush. There's hundreds of devils behind it. What'd she say? There's 10 devils behind every bush. There's a lot of them. But that's okay, because it's peace, peace. Hallelujah. Now, Pastor Dave used to talk about, and he's got a series, and if you've never listened to it, it's like five or six, it used to be then tapes, now it's, you know, it's an MP3 format, but it's called Peace, the Aggressive Weapon of God. Peace, the Aggressive Weapon of God. And that sounds like an oxymoron, because it sounds like peace and aggression don't go together. Contradictory. But Pastor Dave said, when I got the peace of God, it made me more, how did he say that? I wrote it in my notes. He said the peace of God left him more unmanageable by Satan than anything else. Why? If he can't manage you in anxiety, then you're unmanageable. If he cannot dictate to you, see, Smith Wigglesworth used to say this, and that's why, one of the reasons why he was such a mighty man of God, he goes, I don't ask Smith how he feels, I tell Smith how he feels. Every morning I just tell Smith I dictate to Smith. That's the peace, peace. That's the person on the inside. Remember this, I got to tell you, remember that every attack against your mind and emotions is to cause you to go mental. I'm not talking about have a mental breakdown. I'm talking about every attack against you is to get you working out of this. Every attack against your emotions or against any part of your, it's a distraction to hopefully he can get, see, if you go mental, start trying to fight the battle with your reasonings, you're well on your way to being neutralized. You will be neutralized. The fight is not from the soul, it's from the peace, peace. See, he can't do anything with peace, peace. You're unmanageable. And this is why we can take the gates of hell, because we're choosing not to live out of our soul, but out of peace, peace. Start warring with your mind and you're on a path of being neutralized. Remember, or I know we've read that, the preparation of the gospel of peace is your guidance system. The objective, now catch this, the objective of every attack against the believer's peace is to knock out their guidance system. Everything that we receive from the Lord comes from that internal kingdom of peace. It is not dependent upon this world, but when it becomes distracted by this world, therein lies the problem. Everything that we receive, listen, I'll talk about myself. What I receive as revelation to teach to you, it comes from peace. It's because the Lord can speak to me because I'm in a place of peace. If you get disquieted and you're anxious, and if you get in an offense with somebody and then that peace is taken away, it's not that God won't talk to you. It's not that he's so mad at you or anything that he won't talk to you. Your guidance system can't receive. It's mucked up. It's mucky muck. It's all got all this junk inside of it. And you're warring with your mind. And when your body starts getting wore out because your mind's been talking too much, you can bet that you better not conclude that what your thoughts are coming from the Lord. Unless they begin to add life to your body. Hallelujah, that's just free. Amen. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You guys are going through it too, okay? Unless you're not, you know, unless you're here and you're just putting on some kind of facade, and I don't think that. I mean, you'd be, like I said to somebody the other day, we were talking, if you go to this church and you're in gross, negligent sin, this is the most horrible place in the world to be. I would never go here. I wouldn't go here like two services. And then I would tell me, the pastor, when I was leaving, what kind of sot I thought he was. But buddy, I won't be back here again, and I'll tell you something about yourself before I leave. We have to fly by instrumentation. How many of you got that? I can't see anything today. Don't you love it when the days you wake up and the sky is just blue, or it's, you know, I love when those high pressure, we're in the stretch of summer now. Can we make it to Labor Day? Labor Day is hopefully when it just starts, you know, I was sweating before I got up here, okay? But if we can make it to Labor Day, we're on the other side, okay? When those cool fronts start coming and that high pressure comes in and there's no clouds and the visibility is 50 miles or 100 miles, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. But then there are days that you get out of bed and you're like, oh my God, I'm not even saved. I'm the preacher of the church and I'm not even saved. Do these people know this? God, they'd never come here if they knew I wasn't even saved. And that's when you can't fly by, the visibility's not even there. The feelings are not there. Okay, I'm going to speak in tongues. I don't even feel it when I speak in tongues, but I'm going to speak it. I'm just going to speak it. I know he's there. He didn't leave me in the night. There's zero visibility. You can't see in front of your face. It's like, but the gospel of peace is there. And that's the same gospel that raises the dead, heals the sick, casts out devils, gets past the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Most Christians are in tune with their soul than their spirits, and that's why there's such a problem. Let me close with these last couple of minutes. Let me give you some practical applications. This is practical, okay? This is not so much scripture. When the word says, whose mind is stayed on thee, the word stayed means to fasten yourself, and I'm putting that fastened in there because it the root word, salmak, it means to hold on, to lean on, to take hold of in a favorable sense, or you could put in there to fasten yourself to it. Real quick, and then we'll go. Some practical applications on you accessing peace more and more. Watch out for the subtlety of programs that run early. That run early in the day upon arising. Sometimes it's best to say, I'm going to turn my mind off. I'm not going to choose to think about anything until I get into prayer. Okay? Start with him. Even if it's for a little bit. Now, I know some of you got a real pressing kind of schedule sometimes, and maybe you do your prayer later on in the day. But do something, I would suggest. And then the other thing, too, is, now I have to say this about myself, too. There is a point in my prayer time that when I've gotten my intimacy kind of part done, and my worship and praying in tongues, and I can start into the Word, if I get a call then, a lot of times I'll accept it, or a text, you know, and most of you don't ever worry about getting in touch with me because I've done mine so early that I'm good, okay? So you're not going to interrupt me by calling or texting or something if you had to. But here's the thing I would suggest. These are practical suggestions. Unplug. There's a certain time during your prayer time you need to unplug from the world, okay? What I mean by that, 30 minutes of pure, constituted prayer, and I'm not telling you that should be your prayer time, you know, graduate from there, or that may be a step for you, but 30 minutes of pure, constituted prayer is greater than hours of mixture. Hours. What do you mean? Some people are fooled, and this is not condemning, it's just when people think, why am I not getting anywhere? I'm just trying to answer some of their questions in advance. Some people are fooled to believe that they have a prayer life. Then they wonder why peace never overtakes them. And this is not to condemn them, it's just to kind of help answer questions in something like this. A few minutes of prayer, and then sending a sending or responding to a text, a few minutes of prayer and then checking out your Facebook, a few minutes of prayer and then responding to an email, a few minutes of prayer and then searching the internet, that will not provide the face-to-face communion that you need with the Holy Spirit to access peace. And a lot of times in the morning, I'll turn on my cell phone when I get up real early, and I'll just kind of, you know, open my mind up to just check the weather channel. What's the weather going to be today? Well, then the weather channel pops up all these different wows, like, wow, that's pretty cool. They show all these really neat videos, and I'll think, I'm just going to check out that one. And then I'm going to check out, do you know all of a sudden 15, 20, 30 minutes can go by? People a lot of times think that they're tearing it up in prayer, and there's such a mixture. Now, I've told you my fault. Anybody want to? Listen, he would rather that you do whatever, 20, 30, 40 minutes of consolidated pure than mixture. That's not face to face. It's not that you're dissing him so much, but you're not going to get the downloads of peace because your mind is still connected to the world. Then out of that, now then there comes another truth that once you've spent that base time, then you can be like Smith Wigglesworth. And you can go about your day with seasoned prayer. Like, I'll go, like, if through the day, after I've got kind of my base time done, there's a lot of times where it's not necessarily my prayer time, but we've stopped to do something and Candy's running into the store. Man, I'll have that cell phone out and I'll hit Psalms. I'll hit, you know, because it's right there. And I can, now that's different. That's outside of my realm of my time spent. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to lay law on you. I'm just saying people a lot of times think, man, I'm just praying and I'm not getting anywhere. A lot of times you're not praying as much as you think you're praying. And it just dawns on you once the Holy Spirit gives you that wisdom. Amen. Does that help? Hallelujah. Okay. Because I want to help people. I don't want to hurt them. Let's all stand together. Okay. 3 minutes. I went past. I'm good. Okay. Father, we just thank you for this night, for peace, and we just pray that that peace will continue to manifest itself in life and grace, and that, Lord, that as we go forward in the kingdom of God, that we will be ready to take the gates of hell with an insurmountable weapon of peace, the aggressive weapon of peace. Lord, we thank you for these that have been listening and those that are with us tonight. Bless them now in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you, everyone.